From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams. Coming up, a geologist talks about recent volcanic activity at Mount St. Helens. But first, presidential candidates John Kerry and George W. Bush are getting set for their debate tonight at the University of Miami. The debate focuses on foreign policy and homeland security. It's the first of three presidential debates. There will also be one between the vice presidential candidates. In the hours, though, of point and counterpoint, chances are only a few seconds will stand out and have any impact. Day to Day's Eric Weiner now recalls some memorable moments from past debates.
The first ever defining moment in a televised debate was really more of a defining shadow. Richard Nixon's infamous 5 o'clock shadow in his 1960 face-off with John F. Kennedy reinforced perceptions that Tricky Dick was a shady politician who couldn't be trusted. When the presidential debates resumed 16 years later, Gerald Ford produced a defining moment when he fumbled a question about Soviet influence.
There is no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, and there never will be under a Ford administration.
Of course, the Soviets very much dominated Eastern Europe. Ford's blunder played into suspicions that he was not quite up to the job of president. That, says David Leneau, co-author of a book about the presidential debates, is rule number one for the making of a memorable moment.
The moments we tend to remember most are the ones that conform to the stereotypes we already have about the candidates.
For example, he says, one moment that stuck was when, in 1992, George Bush Sr. looked at his watch during a town hall-style debate with Bill Clinton and Ross Perot.
It played to our stereotype that he was sort of out of touch, wasn't concerned with the interests of the common person. When Al Gore was sighing during his debate with George W. Bush, that played into the stereotype of Al Gore being aloof.
But perhaps the best example of rule number one, the rule of stereotype reinforcement, is this exchange between moderator Bernie Shaw and Michael Dukakis during a 1988 debate.
Governor, if Kitty Dukakis were raped and murdered, would you favor an irrevocable death penalty for the killer?
No, I don't, Bernard, and I think you know that I've opposed the death penalty during all of my life.
Dukakis' cool response reinforced the belief that he was a heartless technocrat. There are other ways in which a moment can rise to the level of memorable. Sometimes it's not a matter of playing to stereotype, but just a good old-fashioned parry. Rule number two says, be clever. Ronald Reagan provided a prime example of this during a 1980 debate with Jimmy Carter.
Governor, there you go again.
Those five words, delivered in a grandfatherly fashion, helped change public perceptions of Reagan. Sean Perry Giles is a professor at the University of Maryland.
He was perceived to be kind of a warmonger and is going to do all these things that are going to be damaging economically to the citizens. And so it was a way to respond to Carter that took away the edge of the biting criticism that Carter was making, and it just kind of was a debate stopper.
Reagan's debate stopper was no doubt a scripted line, but these two can become memorable moments if they're delivered at the right time in the right way. Reagan was also a master of rule number three, a kind of political judo where he used his opponent's own body weight to throw him to the mat. Here's how, in a 1984 debate with Walter Mondale, the great communicator deflected concerns that he was too old for a second term.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Sometimes we recognize a zinger like that one immediately. But often a memorable moment is only memorable after the pundits and spin doctors make it so. For instance, says David Leneau, take Gerald Ford's gaffe about Eastern Europe.
When he said that, immediately after the debate, studies have shown that most viewers did not pick up on that. But as the media caught a hold of it in the next couple of days and Ford handled the questions poorly, that became the story of the debate.
So what is likely to emerge as the defining moment of tonight's debate? That's hard to say. Both President Bush and John Kerry have studied the blunders of debates past, so we're not likely to hear anyone sigh heavily or look at their watch or confess that they consult with their daughter on foreign policy matters, as Jimmy Carter famously did. and the ground rules for this debate are so tight they don't leave much room for spontaneity. But Richard O'Dor, director of Duke University's debating team, says never, ever underestimate a candidate's ability to unleash a real whopper.
If you're forced into defending an issue that you didn't think you would have to defend, you might smirk at the wrong time. You might make a facial expression at the end. That would be something you might see Bush do. Those are the types of things that will still happen under the current, you know, rules of engagement.
Even if the debate ends with no single defining moment, don't worry. The spin doctors will be on hand to define one for us. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner in Miami.